Prisoners will be among the first people to receive the coronavirus vaccine in Massachusetts, alongside healthcare workers, first responders, and nursing home residents. The Commonwealth is one of a few states to prioritize those incarcerated for vaccinations, and the decision marks a stark contrast to how the state has handled the virus behind bars. Joining us now for a look back at the year in state jails and prisons and what to expect in 2021 is WBUR's Deborah Becker. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Bob.
So, Deb, why did the state decide to put prisoners at the front of the line for the COVID vaccine?
Well, state officials and members of the state's COVID-19 vaccine advisory group say that because of the high risk of transmission in prisons, where there's no real ability for people to maintain social distance and where poor hygiene is often an issue, they decided that prisoners and correctional staff would be included in the first phase of the vaccine rollout. So this puts prisons and jails in the same category as other congregate living facilities like nursing homes. But how exactly the vaccines will be administered behind bars is still being worked out.
Now, Deb, I've heard from members of the general public who were surprised that the state included prisoners in the first phase of the vaccination, but nationally, was it a surprise when you put it into perspective?
It is somewhat surprising. Researchers say about a half dozen states indicated that they will vaccinate prisoners, but Massachusetts is one of very few to explicitly say that all 13,000 or so people held in prisons and jails will be included in the vaccine distribution right away. And throughout the pandemic, Bob, Massachusetts has not been as proactive as some other states in trying to reduce the number of people behind bars to try to mitigate the spread of the virus. When attorneys went to court to try to get more incarcerated people released, Governor Baker in the spring said that was not going to happen. Here's what he said.
We don't buy as a matter of law, fact, or policy that the argument that's being made before the court is the correct one. We believe the correct position is for us to continue to do the things we're doing to keep people inside the system safe. And that's going to be the way we play this one.
And ultimately, the issue was decided by the courts. The state Supreme Judicial Court ruled that some prisoners could seek release, such as those being held pre-trial who hadn't been convicted. And the SJC set up a monitoring system where state correctional facilities report weekly on how many tests they're administering, their COVID positive rates, and the number of people who have died from COVID-19. There's ongoing litigation about this. And it's not clear, Bob, how many people have been released because the state only tracks the total number of releases, including those who were let go because they completed their sentences.
Some might say that the governor's opposition to freeing low-risk prisoners amid the pandemic sounds pretty unforgiving. So have his views on how COVID-19 affected state correctional populations changed at all since he made that statement back in March?
Not really. Most of the handling of the pandemic in correctional facilities has come about because of litigation. The SJC did urge the governor to use his clemency powers to reduce the prison population, but so far there has been one parole board hearing on a prisoner's request for a sentence commutation. And last month, when we were getting word of more outbreaks in state correctional facilities, Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley and others called for Governor Baker to take bolder steps. Here's what the Congresswoman said.
As the chief executive of the Commonwealth, the governor alone, with the stroke of a pen, has the power to pardon or commute the sentences of thousands of medically vulnerable people behind the wall and to reunite them with their families.
Now, Bob, some of the nation's largest COVID outbreaks have been in prisons and jails. The data suggests that around the country, about 400,000 prisoners have been infected and about 1,800 prisoners have died.
And what about here in Massachusetts? What do the numbers look like here?
Well, the virus spread in correctional settings here has been similar to what's happened across the state. Early on in the spring, there were hundreds of DOC prisoners testing positive, and the DOC stopped all visits and basically kept prisoners in their cells for most of the day. The virus really hit the Massachusetts Treatment Center in Bridgewater. Five men there died from COVID-19. And over the summer, we spoke with two men who were released from the treatment center because they had completed their sentences, not because of COVID. Here's one of them.
People are pretty miserable because they're locked in their rooms. They can't exercise. They're given 20 minutes to make a phone call a day, and pretty much 3 days a week you get a shower for 20 minutes.
And Bob, just like in the state, in late summer, fewer cases were reported in jails and prisons, but then that began to spike in the fall. Most recently, there are hundreds of cases reported among prisoners and staff. In November, the state reached an agreement with the Correction Officers Union to test all officers, and those numbers are now public. And at last check, there were 11 DOC prisoners and 2 men in county jails who have died from COVID-19.
But some observers, Deb, think the death rate is actually higher than that. Why is that?
They do think it's higher than that because they say some facilities aren't necessarily testing. And at the beginning of this month, Bob, we reported on the COVID-related deaths of 2 prisoners a day after they were granted medical parole. Milton Rice was one of the men, 75 years old. He was incarcerated at MCI Norfolk. And Rice's attorney, Lauren Pettit, says Rice's medical parole was denied until he was very sick. Here she is.
I think that the reason for granting the medical parole, as far as I can see, would be only to avoid having to report another COVID death of a prisoner within the Department of Correction.
Now, the DOC says it will start reporting deaths that have occurred after medical parole has been granted. And, Bob, the exact number of people incarcerated who might be COVID positive in jails in particular is not exactly clear. Some jails do regularly test. Some facilities do very little testing. For its part, the DOC says it's administered tens of thousands of tests throughout the pandemic and will continue to test those who are symptomatic. It's also done a third round of universal testing at all 16 state prisons.
Do we have any expectation of how long it's going to take to vaccinate the prison system? And what else are you looking ahead to on the prison beat in 2021?
Well, as we said, prisoners and correctional staff are in phase 1 of the vaccine rollout, which is supposed to be any time from now until February. Still few details about how this exactly might be carried out. And of course, throughout the year, we'll be monitoring how the virus is affecting correctional facilities and the continuing litigation over this.
WBUR's Deborah Becker, thanks a lot for your reflections on how the state has handled the pandemic in jails and prisons, and we look forward to what you find out about the system in the new year.
Thanks, Bob.